Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?
Holy reunion. Hi, Sarah Colonna.
Hi, Mary Radzinski. I'm wearing my no thank you shirt because that's what I have to say after my reunion vibes. And we are running and recording, and so we don't even get to watch our clip show right now that's airing. And I mean, I know that you guys are hearing this tomorrow, but we ran to record and our clip show is airing right after the reunion. So hopefully you guys are all watched that last night. By the time you guys hear this, we'll have, I don't know if I'll watch myself. I don't really like to watch myself, but I'll just, you know, like to take a quick glimpse and see if there's anything I hated about myself and then turn it off.
Yeah, I was going to say that will be, and I'll keep it on my recording, but I'll never watch it fully because I can't emotionally. It's more like just knowing that it exists. So same, but yeah, hopefully you guys hopefully watched it and or recorded it.
And we have another one next week, so don't forget to watch. We had so much fun, and we thank you to Lifetime for letting us do those. We had tons of fun. There's so much chaos tonight, so I just want to, before we get into it, I would like to tell you to go to Are You My Podcast Instagram to follow us and get your merch there and links to Patreon. You know, we go overtime on Patreon. We will be doing that today as well, and then you get Sunday episodes. And it's super fun. We have a good time on Patreon. It's only $7 a month. If you are in the Tulsa area, come see me April 19th and 20th at Bricktown Comedy Club, Tulsa. If you're in Fort Worth, come see me at Hyenas the 26th and 27th. If you're in Lowell, Arkansas, you better come to see me May 10th and 11th because that's my hometown at the Grove. And all of that is on sarahcolonna.com. And there's more dates. And you guys know I have some. Mary and I have some together in June, so just check everything out.
Check it out. Go see Sarah. Check out maryradzinski.com. So many things going on. Sarah,
I don't even know what we just watched.
I don't either. I hope Kevin's okay. I hope Kevin Frazier. I hope they have like a therapist on hand, like on deck, just for everybody that was part of that show tonight.
He actually looked nervous at the beginning. I've watched him, you know, I've been watching this show forever and I've always watched him. And I'm not kidding you, at first, he looked a little like, what's going to happen? And I don't blame him because that's the same way I was looking at the TV. I think it was pretty much quickly after they said something to Emily and Brennan. And he was like, you know, Brennan did the, it's good. Everything's good. I'm great. Yeah, great. Good.
Hey, bro.
And she just looked at him like, she was going to launch just off the chair and cut his hair extensions with tiny scissors. I don't know. It was.
I have to imagine that there was more effort in tonight's seating arrangements. I mean, I think there was probably more seating arrangement effort put in than like a wedding of 200 people tonight for these animals. And I love every second of it.
I think you're right. He said it was the first time that the couples just, they wouldn't even sit next to each other. Michael and Chloe did, but nobody else did. Where do we even begin? I mean, we just talk about it. We talk about it all.
I mean, I think it's funny just a little, like just the opening of, you know, the groups together. It's like they have to get a shot of them all together civil, right? So we all remember who's on the show this season before it comes to fisticuffs. I think it was just right out of the gates. Okay. It's like we learn the ladies are all kind of neighbors now. They talk every day. And then when Kevin's asking about the guys, like Orion chimes in and answers for everybody, like, yeah, you know, we're all friends. And then basically Austin's like, not really. We don't really talk that much. And then you find out that Michael and Austin sometimes hang out and once in a while Cameron joins. But I was like, oh, Ryan, just put a bow on it. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we have small combos. Austin's like, yeah, I'm not in those. I don't know about those, but Michael and I hang out sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. Well, it was funny because it was interesting how he asked about the pink, and they said basically there's power in solidarity, wearing pink, standing strong. And then he says the very obvious that Chloe's not wearing it. And she basically says, look, I came in kind of late. I didn't get the opportunity to bond with them. So at first I thought, is there more to this story? Because I don't know. It just felt, I get it. I believe her. Maybe she just prefers not to wear the pink, and she doesn't have to, and I don't want her to. She looked beautiful in her purple. But yeah, it almost seemed like more of a statement to not wear it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't get the warm and fuzzy feeling from her towards the other girls and vice versa. But then again, like watching it tonight, for example, before Emily's going out to talk to, you know, B-Bag there, Chloe was kind of counseling her, like, don't be too reactive, yeah, or something of the sort. So there is a friendship there with them. So I don't know. It's, to your point though, it's almost a louder statement to not, you know, to not wear the pink, but who knows?
I know. But yeah, then when I saw her talking to Emily, I thought, okay, maybe I'm just reading more into that than maybe she's just genuinely going, look, they're kind of, and I could see maybe her feeling a little bit like an outsider too. She didn't have the same, not that they're making her feel that way, but I mean, she's just, even when we would watch the season and she would be in those group gatherings and they'd be talking about what they all just went through. And she would just sit there like, well, Michael and I are kind of boning, and yeah, you know, she just didn't have
sex
that
store. Yeah.
Yeah. She just didn't have that same experience. So, I don't know. I feel like, it was funny when Kevin said, well, when the cameras went away, we heard it became the most contentious cast in history. I was like, no, that was before the cameras went away, Kevin. Yeah. Did you not?
Yeah, Kev, were you tuning in? Because we picked up on that on day one, pretty much. It is interesting to hear everybody. I we'll get into it, obviously, but I did flip-flop a couple times with some of the, I heard bullshit, and then I actually believed some people and some things I didn't think I did before. They're really getting into it. But I'll tell you what, do you know how smart you have to be to sort of try to pull off a heist like this, a lie, like a season long group collective lie? I mean, it was not going to work from the beginning. And the whole reunion is about this big plot. I mean, it's actually like a show within a show within a show. Like, my brain's going to explode. Like, I'm almost not smart enough to follow it.
Well, that was the thing, is it's very confusing. And I do appreciate that they, at least there was some acknowledgement. It was most specifically with Claire and Cameron.
Yeah.
About their deception, you know, that they know that they deceived the process the most, and they, but it does sound like it was also a group agreement.
Yeah.
But then Becca and Emily and Lauren and who am I missing? Nobody, right? The three of them thought the agreement was, yeah, let's keep ahead of this story. Let's make sure this show doesn't highlight us in a poor way, blah, blah, blah. But they were like, but we're still here to get married, and let's make the marriage first. And the guys took it as, yeah, that's just all we're going to focus on and trying to get. I definitely believed Austin when he was like, I'm not trying to get Instagram followers or anything like that. It did turn into a minute. This is now the second reunion I've watched this year, not of Married at First Sight, where I had to watch the hosts scold a cast for deceiving the process, which is what we saw happen on Love is Blind reunion as well.
Yeah.
And this is what led to us having a conversation of, how long is this stuff going to last anymore? How are you going to weed out the people that want certain things out of it? But I don't, again, I don't think Austin did. I left feeling very bad for Austin tonight.
I did too. I did too. And I actually thought that Kevin was, I didn't see necessarily where Kevin was going with sort of calling out his authenticity.
I didn't either.
On the show tonight. Like, I'm not saying like I tingled down there, but I was impressed with Austin, and it made me feel something when he like spoke up to Kevin. Like, the fact that you are questioning my, you know, integrity or my authenticity in this moment is offensive. And I thought that was, he hasn't come off to me as a liar. However, you know, he Becca lied. Says that was a big problem in their marriage. So it's well, just a weird.
Yeah. When I say that I felt bad for Austin, doesn't mean that I felt any different towards Becca either. I think that she was hurting this entire show. And I think that Kevin was referring to that a lot. But I think that at the end of the day, when I know that she said there was other problems with the vaping and whatnot, but there was before, but tonight it was really just about the producer and it was about that lie. And I will say, we called it stupid when he did it. We said, you don't do that. You tell the person this is what's going on. You know, you're going to get caught. It was just a dumb, dumb move. I don't think the guy's evil.
Right.
So I do think that part I wish Becca could let go and forgive him for, because, and I'm not saying so that she could be with him, but then he lied. He lied about that. Cause she even said, and you know, we're just gonna be all over the place tonight. Doesn't matter order, but she even said when basically Kevin said something along the lines of, when was the fracture? And she said, well, when he lied to me about going with the producer, I was like, no, that was the last episode.
Well,
so
right.
That's not when it was, right? Like, I feel that she's doing that thing, which I completely understand, of focusing now on that one thing, because it's concrete, right? It's right, he lied to me about this. And I think that is a very easy, not easy thing to do, but sort of easy pit to fall into. And this is not a criticism, because I have done that a million times myself. I'm saying I can see it, right? I can see that she was able to, because she's battled with whether or not she should have done this or if she was too harsh in the moment. So I think that she can go, nope, I can say for sure he lied to me in that moment. And that was the thing, right? And it gives her something concrete. And whatever, if you need that, you need that. Sometimes that is what you need.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I did tend to go along with Austin's timeline of when the wedge came between them. And I think that was very clear from watching this season, was when their lack of intimacy became such a focal point with the experts and with Becca, and obviously, you know, compounding the whole thing with cameras and producers. And clearly he's not comfortable on camera, you know, not talking about sex or intimacy, let alone talking about physical or, you know, emotional intimacy. And so I do think I believed him when that was, and he was vocal about that throughout the season, that now it's a thing. Now this is a thing. And it, even though it was kind of a thing, now it's a big thing, and I can't get past this. I thought it was funny when they brought up the clip from After Party where Austin told, Keisha asked Austin if he typically waits to get intimate with a partner, and he's what the time frame was, and he says, oh, 3 to 6 months or something, and Becca was like, I really, you know, you wish you'd have told me that instead of stringing me along. I wouldn't have pressured you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, is anyone going to just call it out and say, Austin just gave Keisha an answer. He was just trying to get her to move on. I don't think he has a rule. I just think this was the
first. He even said that. He was like, it's not as if I had a 3 to 6 month rule. She asked me a question. I gave her an answer. I don't know. Kind of usually it's around 3 to 6 month mark, something like that. I just think, and listen, he was saying his progression of you know, his intimacy. And we, again, we do, of course, you have to respect someone's speed at what they want to get at, when they want to get sexual. And I think what happens is we know that Becca wanted more intimacy in other ways when she was talking about right. how she was hugging him once fully clothed in the kitchen and he pushed her off and called her horny. And then she talked about wanting to shower with bathing suits on, which, by the way, sounds like my worst nightmare. But I am, you know, they, but she was just trying to get some kind of intimacy. So I think there's these two stories where we know that she wanted to have to consummate, right? She wanted to have sex. She was open to it, but she also wanted other things from him that he wasn't getting. But then when they talk about sex, just like tonight, when she's like, well, I wish I would have known it was 3 to 6 months, because I would have known that I wasn't. So then it does become about sex. And so it just gets like, I can see why the two of them could never figure this out. I could see why he would always feel pressured and she would always feel rejected. So it's so clear in a way. I mean, nothing else is clear from this fucking season or tonight. Oh, so no. That part at least was kind of clear, meaning clear why it was so muddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear as mud. I believed him when he said he wanted to be married to Becca when, you know, oh, did you want to be married? And she said to me, and he said, yeah, I did. I do think that she says very quickly that she said this before, she'll say, I'm not the person for Austin. I know I'm not the person for Austin, but she always says it like that more so than saying he's not the person for me, which I find very interesting because it's almost like this, I don't know, like, not like she knows better, but she's putting it in a position of letting him go versus, I don't know if that's what he wants. You know, I think he thinks she might be the person for him.
No, I don't think he's, well, I agree with what you're saying, but as I don't,
you don't have to say that.
No, I do. But up to the point where you said, I think he might think that. I don't think he thinks that. I mean, bless him, he said tonight, I was attracted to, or I mean, I'm not anymore. And she's cool. Thanks for saying that. And I know he probably went, oh God, did I put my foot in my mouth? Cause I don't, I think he, I mean, the word attracted is such a rough one to say, I'm not attracted to you anymore. And I think he was trying to say, I'm just, yeah, we're done.
Right. I've moved on. Yeah. Yeah.
But it still wasn't the best way to start the whole show off for the two of them. That's for sure.
No.
But the guy's, he's not a bad guy. And then that's the other thing is you hear all this contention up front. And then from all the girls saying, all of them lied to us. All four of us have been lied to. All four of us are sitting here with no apologies, blah, blah, blah. And then you see them backstage after Austin comes back and gives her a hug, which was, I was like, thank God I needed to see that.
I know.
Because I needed closure on them more than these two did, to be honest with
you. I know. Me too. Me too.
I need these two sweet souls to be okay. I really do. And then when she tells all the girls about it, they're like, yeah, of course he, because he's not a bad guy. It's like, they know he's a good guy too. So yeah. I think what happens with Austin is he's sitting on that side and he gets grouped in for a second. And then Becca is angry,
right.
Disappointed, whatever it is, you know, I mean, that it didn't work out. So, and then she's still holding his feet to the fire about this lie. And he's like, I apologize to, you know, I've said it was dumb over and over. I do want her to let that go. Me personally, Sarah Colonna, I just want you to let it go because I want a world where you guys can be friends. I mean, she said maybe in 2 to 3 years and he just laughed because he was like, okay, I mean, I guess this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was... theirs is this probably the saddest one because it's not neither of them, other than I think him falling into the whole on camera, off camera thing. And
yeah.
I swear based on zero evidence and no investigation has been launched yet for missing footage or me breaking into, I don't know, the Lifetime building to find the cutting room floor tapes. But I still do somehow, I have decided that Brennan got in his head about that. It's just what I've decided. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I'm allowed to just make shit up when I want to, okay? Because this is a podcast. It's not a news station.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Certainly, we certainly know it wasn't Orion who got in his head. I mean, he couldn't lead anybody out of a paper bag, let alone... I mean, I think for sure Brennan was the... Well, it seems like Brennan and Cameron, I mean, Emily was very adamant that this was kind of his master plan. Which, what are your just like gut thoughts and not, you know, obviously we'll talk details, but Cameron, I sometimes think, wow, he's just like the nicest guy in the world. And other times he says something and I'm like, he's fucking evil. Like, I really have a hard time.
I believe that whatever happened the night of the wedding, and I think there's a world where they heard it wrong, took it the wrong way. Yeah. Because all of a sudden you see this, I mean, you see them, she's ready to basically take his head off. And then at the end, she's like, yeah, no, I'm good. We're good. And then she, you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And, I believe the part, because I think when they're saying mastermind, I think she was only specifically talking about for Claire and Cameron, and I might be wrong, but I think from what I understood them saying, and these two were the most confusing tonight, so we might as well launch into it. It sounded like whatever went wrong. And she said, he's like, listen, if this isn't going to work, we can get out of this when we can do it unscathed, if that's what you want. But in his mind, or what he's trying to make us believe, whether it's true or not, I do not know. I honestly, this is one where I'm like, they both could be complete psycho liars.
Yes.
I actually just think it's somewhere in the middle. And I think they're both, I think they went so far to do this own storyline that basically, and Kevin kind of said it too, that they screwed it up so bad that now neither of them knows even which way's up, right?
Well, yeah, it was like watching two people talk about two people they'd never met and a story they never read. I'm going to be like, you guys, you couldn't have gotten a coffee before this and just sort of got your shit together. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I thought it a little suspect that he went in hard, like right away, like a little dramatic about how, yeah, the first night, you know, after a lot of crying, Claire, God, I wish I could do that accent. But anyway, that Claire told him that she was in love with her ex-boyfriend. And then he was like, she was fucking someone else. And then they like went to commercial and never really talked about it again, other than when she said, no, that's not true. So that was sort of lame.
It was lame and it was weird. But then they also didn't talk about it again. And
not once. Kind of a big storyline.
And I'll be honest, and this is why it's so confusing with the two of them, because I couldn't take my eyes off of Claire when those moments would happen. And she kind of did like, you know, like this big sort of,
what?
What?
Looking around at the others.
Yeah. Kind of like a bad soap opera acting moment. And I'm like, are they both messing with us? Like, it just,
nothing
felt genuine from either of them, to be honest with you.
No.
I really didn't. And all of a sudden when Cam's at the end, it's like, well, maybe we could work it out now. Or I was like, I don't believe that for a second. Like, that feels like that's him just trying to, or is he like, look, you asked me to make a plan. I made it. I went along with it because I thought that you didn't want to have anything to do with me. And then I decided you were a piece of shit, but now, hey, why don't we start fresh? I mean, that doesn't add up.
I mean, they right before he suggested they give it another try, I wouldn't have let them ride the elevator together. I mean, they seem like they're completely at odds with each other. That they don't make sense to me, and it doesn't flow. Like the whole beginning of them with them, him accusing her of like fucking someone else, having a boy, telling him she has a boyfriend, and then it never gets addressed. And then 30 minutes later, he's, you know, like, so do you think we have a shot? I mean, it just makes no sense at all.
Well, and it does, it sounds like, and I think one of them actually said this, you know, we never should have been talking about what we wanted or didn't want on night one, or attraction on night one.
Right.
But it sound, that conversation to me as an outsider, because Claire keeps saying he said he wanted someone tall and slender, and that she took that personally. Whereas he was saying, and I do believe this part of it, she was like, so what'd you ask for? What'd you ask for? Did you get what you wanted? Did you get what you wanted? Which I could totally see her doing. I could see anyone right. doing that.
Yeah.
In this process, but I would suggest that they don't. Cause right. Erner. And then he went, oh yeah, I asked for tall and slender. And then she was like, oh my God, that's not what I am. He's not attracted to me. Like I do think that he found her attractive. I don't think that was ever the problem. But again, were we in the room? I mean, they went back and forth because she even kind of said, yeah, I guess I might have taken that wrong. Like there wasn't, she kind of kept going back to that, but then saying that that wasn't really the problem. It doesn't, I don't, what happened?
I honestly don't know. And then we got weird where like, she's like, you never said I was attractive. She's like, you'd say you like my ass, but anybody can say they like my ass, you know, walk by a construction site. My ass is all that, you know, so she kind of went that way. And then,
Basically when he complimented her, it wasn't good enough. Her husband should have been giving her different compliments.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, come on.
And then it was shortly after that where, I guess it was Kevin asked if she ever visited him when he was sick. And immediately she starts to say yes. He says never. And she's like, I tried calling 5 different times. He's like, she canceled a million times. It's like, it was just so back and forth. Then she's like, he wanted nothing to do with me when I was trying to comfort there. She gets up, starts crying. And then when Kevin checks in with Cameron, he's like, are you okay? You know, I know you're not supposed to get riled up. It was the most condescending, like, smirk. He's like, I'll survive, or however the fuck he says it, you know? I was just like, oh boy, why did you? I mean, sometimes he plays along, other times he doesn't. I was like, no, thank you.
I can't help but say, we're going to plug another podcast right in the middle of ours. I cannot wait to listen to Little Miss Recap do Cameron's accent. Okay.
Yes.
Because they make us laugh so hard with that. And I can't wait for her to just do this whole conversation as Cameron. In fact, I feel like can we interview her as Cameron? I don't know.
I know. That would be a lot of fun, actually. Maybe we will.
Might have to throw that out there. But none of it made any sense. I mean, basically it was, he said, what did she say? She's like, I got on defense mode. He said passive aggressive things to me. Like, I forgot you were in the bed. And it's like, well, but we also saw her say a lot of passive aggressive things. And was he saying, oh my God, I've never woke up with anybody before. I forgot you were there. Or did he say,
I forgot I was married.
Yeah.
You know,
was he like, you're so forgettable, I forgot about you. I mean, which is it? I don't know. Right. I have no idea.
You know, have you ever, okay, this just came into my brain and it's not even a really good thought like many tonight. So just buckle up. But is it like one of them is missing a sense of humor, or both of them are missing a sense of humor, or one of them like just has a really fucking weird sense of humor and it's him maybe? Because have you ever been around, like, there are people, and I can't think of anybody specifically, but in my life where like talking to them would be like an arrhythmic dance because they would say something that I'd be like, huh? but it was kind of a joke. But then because the joke didn't land, they wouldn't own that it was a joke. And it just went from there. Like, I feel like Cameron could be like that, like kind of like, oh, I forgot you were there. And she's already feeling like shit because she doesn't think she's tall and slender. So then she's just building this case or something. And then I don't know.
It's so, because here's the thing. Claire is a smart woman. Okay.
Yes.
So when she, there's so much about all of this, he said, she said, and then, you know, agreeing to something beforehand, the I don't believe that Cam manipulated Claire. I don't believe that. And I also don't believe that she necessarily, that she manipulated him either. I think if he...
You don't think she gaslit him, as he brought up a million times tonight?
Well, I did you see the preview for next week where he's like, I brought a receipt. And then I looked out, he pulled out like an actual receipt because I thought we were going to get texts or something. So I don't know what that was.
He has a scroll in his pocket.
He's like, she went to the Wendy's and... She said she was at Chick-fil-A. I don't know what's going to happen, but it was, first of all, again, nobody wanted, why they didn't get into whether it was a year before the wedding that she had sex with her ex-boyfriend or the night before.
Yeah.
It's a very big difference and nobody seemed to want to, I don't know, just maybe get to the bottom of that. But I guess it felt like there was a couple of times Kevin was like, well, this isn't going anywhere. So
yeah. He's just trying to keep everybody vertical.
Yeah, but, exactly. But what he said, when it sounded like basically she said, on the way home from the honeymoon, he's like, if you didn't get what you wanted, I have a way we can get out of this. And she's like, great. I don't figure out a way to make this all okay because we can't, if we tell the truth, we'll look like assholes is the gist of it, sounds like, right?
Right, right.
And then they admitted that the whole difference of religion thing was a lie.
Right. That was their...
Yeah.
Right. Like, that was just a total made
it was bullshit.
Shit up. Yeah, yeah. Neither one of them cared about religion, really.
I don't know why you're not getting nearly as ramped up about this as I am, because that was, like, made me so...
Well... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's because I was thinking about something you just said that I wanted to, because you know what I mean? It's about me and my brain. No, you're right. The religion piece, well, and they sat down. It almost did feel scripted. If you think back to that scene, you picture them sitting at a table talking to, I believe it was Pepper. Like, oh yeah, religion. Like, you know, I mean, that the fact that they just pulled it out of their ass. And that was early on, right? I mean, that was immediately after the honeymoon.
Yeah. And so that's why, I mean, I guess that's why I don't understand this whole thing where she's trying to say she was also manipulated. They agreed to make up this storyline about a religion to get them both out of it, to try to make them both look like we just can't make it work, but we're both great people. And that's why, even though an after party, they would say awful things about each other on the show during filming. They would be like, but she's like the best person I know. And he's the greatest person I know. And we were all so confused. This is why.
Yeah.
They just didn't get mad at each other until later, I guess. So it was all bullshit. And then they agreed to that dinner thing where they said 1, 2, 3, divorce, separate. Ugh. They had planned that.
Well, and. Yeah, the whole that. Okay, so that's what I was going to say about the outsmarting thing and the who was the planner. Whatever it is, and you know, okay, this is who I trust the most on this show is Lauren. I don't know what it is. I just it's not that I don't trust. It's just that I believe her ability to be level headed and sort of she was a little bit removed. You know, right.
Yes, especially
you know,
by that point. Yeah.
By that point. So that's what I mean when I say I just really, really believe and trust her perspective on things. And she said when the group was all together in the beginning, after Emily said, it's important to point out that Cameron's the initiator of the planning of all this. Lauren jumped in and said, I know that their stories line up because Cameron pulled her aside and said the same thing privately to her on the honeymoon. Said, Lauren, I know what we can get out of this. So I thought that was pretty, and that's where I don't question anything Lauren says, you know, just because, again, she wasn't as, obviously after Orion fucking ruined everything and dragged her through the mud after she, you know, owned up, apologized, whatever the case may be. But so that's my take on that. That was the one thing I was trying to remember.
Yes. And I forgot, but that was obviously very telling. But so was that because he saw Lauren and Orion, what situation they were in? And Cameron was like, why don't, if you want to get, if you, we're making an agreement on our side, do you want to do the same thing? But maybe he didn't know how bad Orion had been truly actually, you know, to not to gaslighting Lauren. Maybe he didn't. Or, why is Cameron going around asking other couples if they want his advice on how to get out of this unscathed? I mean, that none of that made, it doesn't make any sense. I mean,
the only thing that makes sense in my head, and this is just a thought that I believe true right in this moment, but I won't 30 seconds from now, is that that would all make sense if Cameron was kind of a sociopath and he was like, hey, I'm in America. I'm on this American reality show and I'm gonna just fucking burn it down. You know, like I'm smarter than these people. I'm going to come in here and we're gonna beat the system and this is how we can do it. Cause I feel like sometimes he gives me that energy.
That makes sense. I could see that. I guess I think that Claire went along. Claire knew, right? I just don't think when she keeps saying she was manipulated, especially when they talk together with Kevin, it's like you guys were in on this together. Now, if the other girls, I believe when they say, and I'm not saying I don't believe Claire, I'm just saying I don't believe that she was it wasn't the same kind of situation where she's, Cameron was gone, right? Cameron is getting his Tikka fixed and
Tikka.
All the things. So she didn't have to do this sort of, she didn't go through the brutality, like the everyday with the Brennan and feeling like shit about herself and all of those things. So they basically, if they had already planned for an out and then he ended up having a heart problem, she really had an out. So I don't even really know why either of them are mad at each other. These two, I would say, right? At this point, it's like, why don't we both just say we sure screwed this up.
Yeah. There was a moment of a particular vulnerability with Claire when they were talking, when it was just her and Cameron talking to Kevin towards the end of that segment, when she said something about, it was like, she was dealing with two different people, that she was her confusion lied in the fact that she was dealing with two human beings, one that was strategizing and the one that was executing, and that at her core, she didn't know what was real. And that was something that she said in a way that I really believe her. Whenever she gets teary, like when Cameron would say things about that, I was attracted to you, or like, I was this, I was that, she looks like she's one of those kids that can't hear and then they hear for the first time. Every time he says, like, it's the first time she's hearing this. And I sort of believe that. I think if anything, Claire got really wrapped up in this game or this strategy. And then if there were real feelings involved on Cameron's part, she never really knew where that was. And then maybe felt like she was being manipulated at that point. She's like, oh, I thought we were going along with this. Now we're not. You're telling me, you know, something like that a little bit.
Got it. Okay. That makes a little more sense because for whatever reason in my brain, I just couldn't, I just wanted to be like, why are you two fighting?
Yeah.
Right. Like you kind of agreed to this and I guess it blew up in your face somehow, but at the same time, why did it blow up? Did one of you have feelings? Is it because now Cam is claiming he had feelings for her? She feels like he's trying to make her look bad when they had an agreement, right? So that makes sense, and that would be how she felt manipulated. Like, no, you said you were going to take the lead on this. I thought, okay, cool, he's got this in the bag, and then all of a sudden you started saying, "Woe is me," to camera and making me look like an asshole. Is that what?
Yeah.
I should have had the is that my is that the takeaway tonight?
I think so. And okay. That's what I'm going to go with because I'm run out of alcohol. But no, it's when she said if strategizing wasn't part of their story, they could have made this work. But I think she really means that in a way where,
yes,
where, because Kevin's like, so is there a chance? And I'd be like, Kevin, stop it. Okay. It's a big L for everybody this season. Knock it off. But when she said that even him convincing her to stay together tonight feels like manipulation, he's condescending and controlling. I mean, I do get that from him. I don't know, the smirk with the, what do you say? I'll survive, or however you say it in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Or Australia. What is he? Anyway.
New Zealand, I think.
Is he?
Well, yeah. when he said, I want to say something that's not manipulating, because when I say nice things, she calls it that. And then I think, okay, well, Cameron, is this because you got so butthurt because you actually did like her? And then when she was like, yeah, I do want out too, he was like, all right, fuck it then. I'm going to burn it all down and let everyone know that I really actually like her, but never actually tell her that. And so when I start saying nice things to her, she's like, wait, oh, hold on. I thought we had an agreement here. Now I feel like I'm being manipulated into feeling like this is my fault.
Right.
I mean, my whole brain, everything that I just said, take it and just throw it in the garbage. And I never want to think about it again.
Same, if you will, because I couldn't even tell you right now what we just said or what I currently think. And I'll be honest, and I don't fucking care. We have to move on or I'm going to burn my own house down.
My favorite part tonight was when poor Michael and Chloe are just sitting there and Claire at one point said something about wanting it to work, which I don't, anyway, they're all, I mean, this is right out of the gate. It's just like game on. It's just like everyone's like a bull at the rodeo, just trying to get out of the gate. And when Kevin just looks over at Michael and he's like, hey man, what's it like to watch all of this? And Michael's like, it's a heartbreaking, challenging.
Yeah.
Terrible. There's so much hate.
Like venom. Venom.
Just, yeah. And when he said, I hope that I don't spark that negative emotion out of Chloe, and I would never want her to feel that way. And Kevin's like, well, we still don't know why you said no. Which, do you want to talk about them or do you, I mean, because there's, I mean, we didn't see the Emily and Brennan one-on-one yet.
We saw the beginnings of it, right? Like
they sat down and then it's basically to be continued, which is, we saw when they were talking about the clips with Pia.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We got into it a little bit, but yeah, let's talk about, Chloe and Michael for a sec. Okay. I will say
I was getting the previews in my head with like Emily storming off and stuff. I'm like, that didn't happen to, no. Okay. Yeah. Michael and Chloe. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm so curious your thoughts.
Well, I felt like Chloe has been very strong, has been very vocal about what she wants, got mad at Pia for calling her inauthentic and saying that she was full of shit for saying that it was cool that Michael hadn't told his mom. And then tonight she said she wasn't cool with any of that. And I didn't find that. Now, listen, I think both of them messed this up too, big time. Fumbled the ball,
flag on the play.
Said last week when we were, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you should. It was very fun. But that threw me off that all of a sudden she was telling us, because it actually backed up what Pia was getting at.
Well, and I guess when she was along those lines, when Chloe said that Michael had his reasons for coming onto the show, but they were not to be married to her. And then her first example of that was the thing where in the car after the wedding or whatever, she said, "So what's my new last name?" And she claims he said, "There won't be any reason to change your name. Don't worry about it." And then he sort of remembered it a little differently, like, sort of brushed off.
You hyphenated. You don't right. have to change. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, when she first said he had his own reasons for coming on the show, I thought she was going to be like, yeah, and he's got this, you know, the starter skirt business he's trying to launch. You know, he's making his own swords and crowns. I think he's like a weird circus entrepreneur. I don't know what's happening. You know, I was expecting more other than that. And then the fact that he didn't tell his mom.
Yes, that it's true. They almost gave us a teaser as if it was going to be. And then we found out Michael, oh no, it's just all the exact same things that happened on the show. I wish we would have found out he started a skirt company.
I know. Hey Sharks. Yeah. I hope or Skort. Maybe he's going hard in the paint with Skorts now. I mean, that would be exciting to learn. The fact that they sat down and there was no mention of future goals and, the kiddos and the sanctuary, I think is a complete missed opportunity. It feels similar to someone saying, "You said you were in love with him and you were fucking him." And then they go to commercial and nobody brings it up again. It's like how... I feel like that is the bulk of why they were not aligned on what they wanted in their futures. I mean, that seems very clear to me. But I don't know. Who am I? Just some dumb bitch who spends her life watching this show and talking about it? Yeah. Check. So whatever.
Check. Yes, I agree. And I feel like I had the same reaction because I thought, well, and I'm glad that she got to say her piece. And, but I left with no answers on them because he basically said, he basically said, when did doubt come for you? And Michael says a little before 1 month and it's hard to articulate. And she's like, "You're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm over it." That's a
yeah
sure sign. Yeah. You're not.
She's snapping pens on her lap. Yeah. I'm totally over it. Everything's fine.
Say whatever you want, bro. I'm made of steel. And listen, I love her. I think she is. I think she's right that she knows that she doesn't want to go back with him. Nothing's going to hurt her feelings, this and that. But I just think for her to be so, she was so mad at Pia for saying that she was acting cool about all this stuff. And then she's like, "I really am cool about it. I don't think it's a big deal. Why should we bring his mom into it? Blah, 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 blah. He has his reasons." And then on the show, she's like, "Well, I knew he didn't want to marry me because he didn't tell his mom." And you're like, "Wait, right. I'm sorry."
You're like, "What?" Yeah.
I mean, that blew my mind. And his mind looked a little tiny blown too. And he was even like, "It's not like I didn't tell my family. We had this conversation, but had you articulated that to me, then we could have more of a conversation. I'm not necessarily telling you that I would have ran and told my mom, but it would have been good to know that it was bothering you that much." And I think that's fair. And it's fair that it bothered her, by the way. It's totally fair that it bothered
her. Totally.
But she should have. Yeah. Now, hindsight's always, obviously easier to go, "You know what? That did upset me." But anyway, when he said doubt came in about a month before, it was hard to articulate. And he's like, "There's no list of things to pinpoint. It's not because of her." And then Kevin starts in, "Did you not want to be married?" And it's like, he's saying it. I mean, for us to pretend that we didn't see him, he woke her up at 6 p.m. to tell her that he wasn't sure about things. They sat in that beer tub and he told her that wasn't that their 1 month anniversary?
I think, the beer tub. Yeah.
And she said, if this was decision day, what would you say? And he said, "I would need more information to make a more informed decision." Like, he didn't, I don't think that he, from what we saw, again, I know that there's stuff we don't see. We didn't see any misleading of that situation, right?
No, I don't think so. And when Kevin asked him if he was he not ready for marriage, and Chloe was nodding as he was saying, as Kevin was saying that, I was kind of like, you know, I think it would be hard for anyone to be in a position where you felt rejected and or, you know, the other person said no to on decision day. I think it would be hard to say to yourself, they didn't want to be married to me. I think it's easier to say his level of commitment was not there. He's not ready to be married. I don't know if I agree with that, just based on my own observation. I just think he said it pretty clearly that the reason he said no on decision day was because they had not built a foundation strong enough for him to want to continue a marriage or to try to continue a marriage. I just think I think the writing was on the wall, and I don't know. I mean, would have been better for the optics if he'd have said yes and then they quietly broke up a week later, you know, and it was in Us Weekly or something, maybe. But I think it was just like, you know, call time of death and move on and, you know, go back to your Scort business.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because she was basically saying, I was in this to do it unless I was committed until I wasn't, basically, if it was so, like, unless it was a monster, basically, which I don't believe. I think it's everyone's committed to this. Well, not everyone this season and not in the past couple, maybe, but usually the theory of the show is that's what you're committed to. You're committed to hoping that it works, but you are actually given decision day for, dare I say it, a reason. And every time one of these people say that this show is for you to stay married, no matter what, then I say, then why do they have a decision day? Why do you get married at first sight? It's one fucking episode and there's no more of the season.
Ding, 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 ding. Hey, experts, I think we found a foolproof way for you guys to get some credibility back. Yeah.
I mean, stop saying that this is, well, he wasn't, the reason I know he wasn't committed to the process because he was committed to the process, but not committed to stay after. Yeah, because he took that 8 weeks and he didn't think it was going to work. And I think she's great. I wish they would have worked out. But everyone, if one more person acts like that there's no option to get a divorce, then they really don't. Of course, do the experts want a W? Of course they do.
Of course they do.
We all do. Who and we kind of hoped Michael and Chloe would bring us one. But if one more person says, like what she was like, I was committed to this process until I'm not, until I found out basically she said, unless it's a monster, or she said, I was committed to it until I find out the person isn't right for me. Yeah, that's the whole point of the show. And that's what he did too.
Yeah.
Oh, he found out the person,
that's Sarah. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, you're right. He found out, he was able to figure out that she was not right for him and probably that he wasn't right for her. You know, I mean, I don't think it was a total rejection. I think it was also a removal of himself from being in her way of finding happiness. You know, I think she's made it very clear what she was looking for. And I think he knew that he wasn't going to be the person to maybe, you know, be her partner in that journey. I mean,
you can't say when someone says no on decision day, that means they never intended to stay. Well, then blame the fucking experts for saying, do you want to get married or do you want to get a divorce?
Right, because right.
You're supposed to take one road or the other. I don't know why that just like Brennan at the beginning was like, there's divorce is not an option. I was like, it literally is in 8 weeks. Don't worry about it.
But chances are good it's his.
But, well, sorry, I can't stop harping on that. But, well, when Michael said, they were really trying, Kev was really trying to get, he's like, do you regret saying no? And he's like, well, I regret saying no because that's how I felt. So I I regret that that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Like, he could see he was trying to say, like, no, it's not. I regret that I didn't feel the way that I wanted to feel to continue the marriage.
To say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like just dancing around, just making this guy. I mean, and I do think, look, I think it's very clear he respects her.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he said no, is because he knew it wasn't going to work.
I think it was as simple as that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, he said he should have been more transparent and told her he was struggling to say yes and that he needed her help for a solution. I do feel like we saw him say that a couple of times.
I want to ask you, I called bullshit on one thing she said when they were talking about the fact that she needed to take some time right after the honeymoon and go home and the elderly dogs and we saw that she was sort of having some issues or anxiety and just needed some space. And then was it Kevin that asked it or however it was like, what if Michael had said, no, I you have to stay. Then Chloe came back and said, you know, that's what I kind of needed. I needed him to tell me to stay. And I want to be like, I think if he had told you to stay, you would have, you know, grabbed your poodle or whatever and been like, I'm done. It would have been Runaway Bride too. I mean,
you mean actual poodle. You don't mean it like, that's not like a code, right?
Code for like her, one of her sex toys with the pull cord. Yeah. No.
Well,
No,
because here's the thing. And that's I'm glad you brought that up because I almost forgot about it because I was just so mad that everyone forgets how this show works.
Yeah.
So the thing with Chloe is she's so poised. She has good intentions. She's obviously a great person. There's no, you know, I feel like she'd be a good hang. She might say things like that. What's meant for us will never pass us too much. And I'd be like, well, the bartender just walked by and I didn't get a cocktail. So that was meant for me. And it better
the
come
lights
back.
Just came on. So if you could whip something up for us. Thanks, Clobert.
But I think for someone so articulate and so I know what I want and I know what I deserve and these are my plans for the future and all this and that. To then basically say that she spent the whole show not being truthful about what she needed and wanting him to read her mind is kind of like, who's at fault? You know, that's, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to say things like that. And I don't put that blame on her, but instead of saying I needed to hear that, she should have said, yeah, you know what? I was actually fishing for that and I didn't get it. And that's a me problem because that's what that is.
Right. That's very well said, Sarah. I agree because I think it's easy when your feelings are hurt or you're a little annoyed to sort of redo the narrative in your head a little bit and have it sort of fit what you're feeling and how things panned out. And I mean, listen, I think we've said this a million times. They're great people. They'll both find people. I think the reason that it was hard for her is because there wasn't a glaring issue, you know? So now they have to try to create one. I mean, at the end, you know, of their segment, she said she had a renewed sense of self, an awakening of her spirit. I believe she said she was transformationally a different person. She was real close to thanking the Academy. Yeah. We were real close. They started to play the music and walk her off stage, but I was like, all right, we get it. You know,
we get it. We get it.
Thank you, God, my mom, you know, we get it.
I'm just a girl from Denver. Never thought I was going to make it to the big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is when she said that, and that got my back up for sure about the, that's what I needed to hear, blah, blah, blah. Because on camera, and not just to Michael, but to in confessionals, whatnot, she was so grateful. She had someone who understood when she needed the space and he didn't freak out about it and he was understanding about it. And I agree with you. I mean, that's a very man or woman. If someone says, I need space, I need to, and you don't know that person, for you to then be like, well, if you take it, I mean, like, that's not cool or whatever. I mean, that's not a good first impression either. So,
yeah.
And not that he would have. I mean, Michael, I think we all know Michael doesn't talk like that. That's just how I talk. But he would, for him to say, I'd love for you to stay and us figure this out. I mean, if somebody's feel like they have anxiety and panicking and they need to get away and rethink, I think the last thing they really want to hear is, I need you to stay, otherwise I'm going to feel rejected.
Yeah, I just don't believe that that is true necessarily, that she wanted, that she was fishing, that she was saying that for him to get her to stay. Because also, if you remember, she came back rejuvenated and happy and it was the best thing in the world and yada yada. I mean, that we heard about that forever too. So, yeah, I mean,
well, and I think the problem with that, with what she, the problem with which she did tonight by both saying that she wasn't cool with the mom thing from the beginning and she wasn't, she actually wanted him to ask her to stay when she needed the break, was it's a complete different thing than we saw.
Yeah.
And what, then from what we know from what Michael saw too.
Right.
So that's a complete different person. And she, like I said, she was so mad at Pia when Pia was like, I'm kind of calling bullshit on this, you know, everything's cool. And
right.
She was like, well, why can't it be fucking cool? Why can't I be cool with that? I am cool with all this. Pia's full of shit kind of thing.
Pia was right. Pia, guess what? Pia, she's no joke. Pia sniffed out a rat. You know, she called it. And you're right. Chloe was really pissed about that. So
I guess, I mean, yeah. And it sucks because I think that, you know, they both are like, they both do seem like great people. And I don't think that they're a good match.
Not
I don't think it was a shocker. No, definitely not anymore. But with all of, I think of all, and I do think that Michael, whether or not, I think, I mean, he brought it up once. I know I remember for sure, but I do think that he needed to bring up more, hey, this is overwhelming me, your plans for the future. I don't know that that's what I see. He needed to speak up too, if he didn't feel like he was getting the opportunity to, or if he felt it was like kind of, as you said before, a little bit more of the Chloe show when it came to future plans.
Right.
And he said that. So I was glad he owned up to, you know, I should have probably found a way to articulate this better and talk about my struggle better. But I mean, from watching the show, I definitely never thought like, oh, they're cool, they're going to make it. So if that's the trajectory she was on, I think she was missing some cues too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And wait, was it on After Party? Was it last week or sometime? And honestly, I feel like I dream about this fucking show, so I might be totally making this up. But didn't Michael say somewhere that they had sort of discussed both saying no, but that she ended up going with her gut in the moment and saying yes on decision day? I feel like I might be making that up.
You might be right. Is that right?
I mean, that's what I mean, Sarah. I feel delusional. I gotta be honest. I feel manipulated and gaslit by this season. And I don't, is there anyone I can talk to and blame in particular? I might just go with Orion, but just because I could probably take him.
It'll just be easier. You could definitely take Orion. Are we going to have to watch those two talk? And I know, and by have to, I mean him. You know what I mean? You know, I love to hear Lauren talk, but am I going to have to listen to Orion try to spin? Because when they were showing them all backstage and they were, it was like the guys were all talking and they're like, these girls are really spinning their narratives or whatever. He's like, yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You don't get to talk. You don't, I we know. Saw what you did. Okay. You don't get to, there was no narrative spun on you. We have the receipts. It's called, we have the season.
Every time he talks, it's like all I can picture is him showing up to a full weekend filled with people with a six pack of beer. Like, dude, don't even bother. Okay. Don't even bother. Save your $12.99. It's fine. Yuck.
Well, it was interesting that one note of when Lauren said that he told her that he had joined the show for selfish reasons to highlight his community, showcase Indigenous people to the world. And then he's like, well, I love the lies going around. But on that one, when he said, I just was saying, I've never had a platform like this. It's exciting to document it. And I can see where that conversation happened. And then and then after all the shit that went down, in retrospect, it felt like different, almost like the name change thing for Chloe and Michael. Like I could see a world where Orion was like, my God, I doing something like this could actually bring more attention to Indigenous people, blah, blah, blah. And if we have this successful marriage, I mean, you know, I tend to, like you said, believe Lauren's account of things, but I could see a world where he didn't say it the way he meant to, and that he didn't really join the, because it's not like he's some beaming personality where he thought he was going to be on this show and all of a sudden everyone's going to be aware of, you know, I mean, not trying to be mean, but I don't think he was. Anyway, okay, we got to get to some Emily and Brennan. They did cut us off for next week because they know how to hook us for the read.
They gave us a little crack cocaine to keep us coming back. And I mean,
there was some fingers going when Brennan was like, just offered her water, and then she's like, brr, like walking down the hall.
Oh my God. That was amazing. I would like to point out in the group setting in the beginning when Emily said something about how Brennan silenced her by saying he won't go to bed until she deletes diary cams. And Kevin asked Brennan if he did that. And Brennan's like, we live private lives. I'm so glad that Kevin was like, no. You signed up for a public television show, dummy. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And so that's the thing is when they, I know that Cam is they said that he was like the leading the charge on all this, but Brennan seems like he was, well, he just took the notes a little too well or something because he seems pretty, I would like to put a lot of blame on him too for, because like Emily said, or he tried to say, before he said, well, I told her I would like for her to delete him. I mean, but she didn't have to. It's like, but if you're standing over her saying you're not going to bed until they're done, and he sure didn't deny that, right? Instead, he was like, well, I mean, we do have private lives. No, you don't. You literally signed a whole thing to document this entire thing. So
I thought that was so interesting when it was the two of them talking with Kevin, and when she said something similar, like, well, you know what you signed up for and you avoided it by deflecting and saying nothing and making sure that I said nothing. And if Emily said one negative thing, that's what he would punish her for. And he was like, how did I punish you? This really hit home with me. Picture they're staying in this apartment together. They're filming all this stuff. She said, if I did something wrong, you'd leave or you'd yell at me in the morning. If I did something right, you'd stay over or you'd go to lunch with me. It's like literally like house training a fucking dog. I mean, that's gross. It felt so disgusting to hear that.
It felt disgusting. Listen, I don't necessarily, do I wish that she could be calmer and maybe not flip him off going down the hallway just for, I don't know.
That was for us.
Yeah,
I mean, that was just more for us. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but it that kind of stuff. Like when I keep hearing people say, "Well, she seems angry now," it's like, well, I think when you start looking back on things like that, I mean, because how many times in the beginning? Because that part, like, it actually punched me in the gut when she said that. Like,
yes.
If I did something wrong. You'd leave. If I did something right, you'd stay over or you'd have lunch with me. You'd reward me.
Reward.
And how many times did she
throwing
say
food to the captive in the basement, you know?
Yeah.
It was gross. That,
it messes with, of course it messed with her head. It's like, of course, instead she's like, oh, okay. So, there is a chance. Cause all of a sudden today he wanted to have lunch with me. And it's like, oh no. Cause she was a good girl. She did the thing I asked her to do.
Yes.
I don't feel that she's exaggerating that. I really don't. It just felt especially because how many times at the beginning did she say, or not in the beginning, but like after the honeymoon, a few times she would cry and she would say, at what point does this look sad for me? At what point do I look, you know? And I think that was, it was stemming from that kind of shit.
No question. And it makes so much sense now. When I think about these guys, and again, I always feel the need to say it, even though I don't feel the need to say it, but I say it, so I must. There have been many seasons when we've sided with the men. This isn't like the thing we do. We don't just choose to side with the women because we're women. We watch the show and we make our own decisions.
No, there's been plenty of times that I was like, oh, people are going to get mad at us because we're two men.
Yeah, because we're a couple of guys. When you look at Cameron and Austin, I think exactly what you said. I almost do put more blame on Austin. Austin came in with that, like, you know, divorce is not an option. It's like if I think they were both equally harmful in this. Cameron was the nerd, the dork character in the high school to execute the plan, and Brennan was the bully jock, and those are the roles that they play in my head. Orion was insignificant. He sat at some other table and just tried to get people to talk to him. It didn't matter. Austin, I think, is a sweet guy who just got roped into this season, and it could have gone a million different ways if there were different people this season. I think he would have gone along with whatever, but I do think you're right. I think Brennan, all the names run together. Brennan and Cam, I think, were the bad players, the bad actors.
I agree with that. And I think, especially when, what was he? Because he was basically, Kevin was asking him, why was he resistant to conversations with Pia? And he goes on that I didn't want to make her feel bad. And I thought some things were resolved. And then I thought, like, oh, this is a three. This made me want to throw my TV out the window and then to get my car out of the garage and run over it four times. And then just to make sure I could never watch my TV again was when he was like, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know that she didn't think things were resolved. And I was like, let's take advantage of this. This is a free therapy session. Let's focus on some stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
How many times did he say he doesn't like therapy, doesn't want to go to therapy, therapy's not going
to
happen?
Had never been to therapy.
Had never been to therapy, had no interest in therapy. So don't tell me that all of a sudden you were hyped for Pia to come over and really get to the bottom of shit.
Yeah. Let's put it all out there. Let's figure our shit out. He's full of shit. I just said shit a whole bunch. But when it was so telling to me when they started talking to Kevin and he said immediately he felt the experts didn't match him correctly. So that's why he didn't trust the process. And he felt slighted. So he took it out on Emily. And I do think it's interesting. This goes to show you he does not, maybe he wants to be married, but he definitely hasn't watched this show and doesn't want to be married at first sight. Anybody who's a fan of this show or is even familiar with the show, you go back to season one, Jamie Otis, she was so not into, what's his name?
Doug,
right? Now it's like this, you know, the longest, most exhausting love story of history. It's wonderful. But the point is, that's the show. The show is you get matched with someone and whether you got to trust the process. Because he wasn't handed someone that he wanted a matchmaker, a dating service, like a Patty Stanger, like to say, oh, here's
cake
your person.
Topper.
Yes. He did not want to do this show to find out if it actually worked based on experts taking information and matching you up appropriately, blah, blah, blah. So he really did just kind of rob her of that. You know, I mean, it's like, and I can see why she'd be mad is, you know, again, she's reactive and could probably handle herself in a way that didn't tick so many people off. But I don't think she's wrong with what she's so mad about.
I don't either. And especially because, to your point, which it's so funny because there's so much happened tonight that even though I have that whole thing that he said written down, part of it sort of escaped my brain for a minute. So I'm glad you brought it up, because when he was like, I felt slighted, and she's like, you felt slighted by getting me, but, you know, which I,
yeah,
but to say that you are who you are and you just aren't for me, and that's okay. Okay. But again, what he did was he felt slighted and then he punished her. So this is another human being in the process. You want to be mad at the experts, go get mad at the experts. Say immediately, I want out, and just fucking bail then right away.
Right.
Don't put her through this. Don't, like, he admitted that he knew right away.
Right.
He said, ultimately, we weren't a match in lifestyles. Oh, really? Because at first, all you did was talk about, you guys had same kind of career goals. You were, sounded like they aligned, like,
kids?
Yeah, and like politically or not, I don't know, lifestyle, whatever it was. That kind of stuff. Like, he was kind of alluding to that. Our values. He kept saying values.
Yes.
Yeah. They both said, he said that at the beginning. So, and it's fine. Again, it's fine if you don't end up falling for the person, but to call it a day on day one because you felt quote unquote slighted by the experts, and then punish a person who is only there to actually truly go through the process, which we know she was, is bullshit. And so she has every right to be pissed off about that.
Yeah. And so many times she said, I just want to show that he was never in this. I just want to show that he was never in this. And he in 2 to 3 sentences told us all tonight he was never in this. And yeah, I mean, I think yeah, you're right. I know. Look at us. We're animals. We are animals.
I know. We're going to go over to Patreon and keep talking. We have many more thoughts on all of this. And then obviously, so come join us. It's only $7 a month. You get so much content. We have on Married at First Sight Thursdays, we have bonus content. We even gave it bonus content last week when it wasn't a Married at First Sight. We have Sunday episodes. We just are fun. There's a photo of me with a bad haircut. I mean, there's just fun on there.
Sarah, that picture. I mean, I thought I had a picture in my head of what you talked about on Patreon last Sunday about one of your bad haircuts. And I've never known anybody to Benjamin Button the way you have. It's amazing. Anyway, check it out.
Join
if
us.
You get a chance.
Yes. If you can, if you're not able to support us on Patreon, you can always hit us with a 5-star review or subscribe or tell your friends, whatever. We love you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week for the second half of this shitstorm.
Oh, buckle up. Bye.
Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?